Thank you for the record. Lorraine Botha, chairperson for the Standing Committee Community Development. Members, I'm giving over to you to introduce yourselves, and then Minister HOD and CFO and the other CFO. Please, if you can introduce yourself. Good morning, Mireille Wenger.
Goeiemôre, voorsitter, Dylan Mitchell.
Good morning, Jarasia Kaupi.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Polisa McGillin. No, no, I want to say sister.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Robert McDonald, Head of Department Social Development.
Morning, Albert Fritz, MSE, Social Development.
Good morning, Juan Smith, CFO.
Good morning, everyone. Ben Vahali, Director of Finance.
It's almost, CFO and Director of Finance. Six of one and half a dozen of the other. On my left, it's Namonde Janka, who is the coordinator for this committee. And then on my far left is Mary Ann Burgess, who is the assistant coordinator. Welcome to the language practitioners at the back there. And then those four guests there, would you move to a mic to introduce yourselves, please? You can even take up that seat.
Hi there, my name is Kayla Murray. I'm the spokesperson for the Minister of Social Development.
Good morning, Verity Damon, Public Finance.
Good morning, I'm Michael. I'm a monitor from PMG.
Nina Hendricks, Provincial Treasury Infrastructure Unit.
Thank you very much. We are here for this meeting to deliberate on Vote 7, the adjustment appropriation. Minister, HOD, I'm giving you an opportunity to give some overview remarks if you wish to.
No, thanks, Chairperson. We actually just want to wait for the engagement. Looking forward to that.
Okay, thank you very much. Members, in terms of Vote 7, we're starting on page 155 up until 167, and then the annexures follows. So I'm not going to go, the annexures, you've asked the questions that you have, and I almost want to say that in terms of your preparation for this vote, that I'm going straight into the questions, and if you can indicate the pages that you're asking the questions on. Okay. All right, over to you, Member Matalini.
Morning, Chair. I think, Chair, before we can start with the question, I'm not going to allow the minister to just say he's happy to accept the question. I thought you will also take us through on the process of the adjustments and their thinking behind it, so that we can also be in the same understanding, so that as we ask those questions, we understand where they come from.
And the minister has said that he will deliberate on the question asked, so I think we're giving him that opportunity to deliberate on the question when you ask the question and speak to the OBU. So, members, 155, 156.
Okay.
Member Gopi?
Chair, on 155, I want to ask the department about the 888-000, social welfare, why, how will the 888-000 decrease affect the services for on this program? And then on 56, on 56, I wanted to ask which one now. Okay, I'll come back to that. But my main one is the 888. How will it affect the program and the service?
Thank you, Member Winger.
Thank you, Chair. I have two questions on Program 2. And the one that is very welcome is the $2.3 million for the adaptation of vehicles for children with disabilities. I'd like to know how many vehicles could be adapted with that budget. And then secondly, on the drought relief reserve, the million rand, which areas will that serve?
Also on that question, HOD Minister, that vehicles, what centres are attached to those vehicles and where? Okay, then that is Member Makaleni.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, the Minister of Finance, when he was speaking, he spoke of 86 billion that is coming from the Department of Education, Social Development, etc. So I wanted to understand what is the contribution from this department, and what will it be used for? Then maybe coming to your question, to the question on page 155, just as a small understanding for me, that there was an increase or an adjustment of just 300K to the administration. So I just to make me understand, is it for a new post in the administration, or what is it exactly for? And then if we move to page 156, just the 2.3 million on the machinery and equipment, you will see that there's, okay, maybe I'm also trying to understand. I see money is taken and some came in, and then in at the end it's only a 501, that's a difference. But I need to understand what is going on, but it could be money moving from one thing to another. So if that could be explained to me in simple terms. And then on 157, Chair, the 441, that will be used for payments for financial assets lost due to accidents. Also, Chair, a brief explanation for me there. I think for now I'll end the Chair.
Actually, Minister, see you both.
Thank you, Chair. I think just to say that the department, the adjustment budget comprises some shifts internally and then some extra money from Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
I will ask the CFO and his director just to give you the numbers for the net increase, and then they can speak to some of the other details that you've asked, particularly the 888,000 reduction in welfare services, where that is going to. As well as the question of why there's an additional 300,000 for the administration, and what is the issue of the payments for accidents, the write-offs. If I could just ask them to address those first.
Thank you, through the Chair. As you would note, members, that we've received 5.1 million as an adjustment increase. Of that 5.1, 1.5 million is revenue retention. So that is revenue retention from the previous year that we could then also utilize in this adjustment budget. And then all the rest of its new funding, which of the 300,000 is for the youth outreach, and 2.3 million is for the disability court case and the vehicles that we will procure based on that court case for intellectually disabled, especially children. And those fundings will most probably go to our NGOs in terms of this. At the moment, we're looking at two vehicles, because these must be specially adapted for that need in terms of those children. So they won't be just normal vehicles; it will be bigger vehicles to transport these children in terms of it. And then also 1 million for the drought relief reserve, food aid for agri-farm workers and families. That makes up the 5.1 million. In terms of the 888, the net effect there, that is basically because of our compensation, again, in terms of the exits, filling of posts and retirements that also has occurred, and now we've just adjusted according to that in terms of that. Then in terms of the, yeah, that 300,000 administration is the outreach, which is in the ministry within program one, in terms of the 300 youth outreach funding that we've received, which is an executive priority for the department. That's for them. And then in terms of the 441 or the 441,000, yeah, that is what we've made provision for now for write-offs. Those is where, especially with our government vehicles, where state attorney has indicated that it's uneconomical, we cannot pursue it any further, and as we know, the staff that use these vehicles does not forfeit their cover, and therefore we need to then also write those off, and we've made provision for that.
That was the things I asked you to cover. Just in terms of the drought relief and the determination of the areas, we're already servicing a number of areas, but we've identified a greater need. So we can't give you that now. You'd have to maybe just give us a question afterwards and we can give you that detail, because there's quite a few. I can't give it off the top of my head. The determination of where the vehicles will go, as the CFO has indicated, we're looking at procuring the vehicles and then handing them over to NGOs that are able to manage it. We will determine that through a process. So we're not predetermining it yet. We have to get the money first. But there's quite a few that are potentially suitable for that. Again, that's just stemming from the right to education court case that demands that when the court orders that we provide more services for children with severe intellectual disability. The aspect of that case was around transportation as well. Unfortunately, that's one area where there's been real difficulties. There's difficulties across the board, from accommodation to education to transportation. The transportation is about getting these kids to education opportunities and so forth. I think those are the primary. The reduction in the welfare services, just to clarify as well, that welfare services budget is where all of our regional staff is also situated in terms of where we place that compensation budget. So that's why it's a very big budget, because it encompasses all the regional staff. Impact on service delivery, well, we are struggling in some areas with vacancies, where we've had unexpected resignations of social work supervisors and so on, social work managers, and we have to fill those posts. So that is quite a challenge for us, because the process, it takes people resign with a month's notice, and then it takes up to 5 or 6 months to find someone else to appoint them. That's where we're finding, and it does put pressure on our regional offices.
I just want to understand a bit further in terms of my, in terms of clarifying. The CFO said that the money allocated for this vehicle is to purchase two. And you say you still need to, as a department, you still need to identify the NGOs who will benefit from this. I just want to know, in terms of this funding allocated for that, does it include also, repairs, maintenance pertaining to those vehicles? But if you now say that the NGOs has not been identified, my next question was going to be, if they were, that in terms of repairs and maintenance for these vehicles, are they, the service providers, will it be in the area of that NGO? Because sometimes we also have, in terms of the procurement or state procurement, that the vehicle goes to Timbuktu to be repaired, and it takes, you know, the turnaround time for it to be back to service the community takes so very long. So, yeah, I just want to speak to that. Sorry, HOD, Member Gopi?
Follow up on the question that I asked the 888, I see here on 159, under program 3.2, it says here 183,000 for retirement and resignations. So maybe can we be told, or can we get a breakdown of how many retirements and how many resignations made up that 183,000?
Thank you, HOD.
Thanks, Chair. We can provide that. I don't know if you have it with you, but probably not. Just you do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then you can go ahead. Okay. Okay. I'll let you guys try and count it if you can.
But actually, can I? You know, without revealing the names of it, just give the numbers to us. So you don't have to give names.
Yeah, they
to
got
us.
It there, but have you got a number?
Okay, in terms of new appointees, we had 95 new appointments. We had 10 promotions. Staff exits were 65. These numbers are confusing, because they're not numerical, but it's a page and a half. So that's, I'll count them individually now, and that's about it. I'll count the staff exits and then I'll give it to you in a few seconds.
Yeah, the thing is also that retirement payments, those are to do with leave gratuities and things, huh? The costs involved in the vehicles, according to our submission to Treasury on the matter, I'll tell you exactly what we're looking at getting. We're looking at getting a Toyota Quantum 14-seater, which will be $472,000, a VW Crafter 23-seater, $589,000. The adaptation of the two vehicles will be approximately $300,000 per vehicle, so that's $600,000. And then the seating device for 20 seats on the two vehicles is $144,000. That's the capital cost, which comes to 1.8 million. The operational cost that we're making provision for in that additional budget, driver salaries, which we would give the NGO money to pay the driver, not us, 168,000 rand. The maintenance, insurance and contingency, 100,000, petrol 244,000, which comes to your operational costs for the year of 512,000. So that brings us to the 2.318 million. We are hoping to be able to expand that to 3 million in the next year, 1920, and maintain it through the outer years. So we'll have to see how it goes. This is something of a pilot, whether it is going to work.
I've got the number now, Chair. 104. That exit the department.
104.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Members, more questions?
Thanks, Chair. I had earlier asked the Minister on the contribution towards the 86 billion from the department, and I have not been responded to on that one. Yes, there's the 86 billion that the Minister of Finance was talking about, and he mentioned four departments that have contributed to that. And one of those departments towards the youth and improved learner services. So one of the departments that was mentioned was this department. Hence, I'm trying to understand what was our contribution and what is it for. No.
Was it part of his speech yesterday?
Yes. No.
Provincial Ivan Mayer.
As a total, it's not all coming from the department. Oh,
if I'm even asking this question, but I think it's coming. I'll find it here now, because I had...
Okay, switch off your mic while you find it. Morning, Member Lecker, welcome. Members, do you still have any more questions apart from Member Makaleni? You on track now? Hey? Member Makaleni?
Yeah.
I see you reading. You?
No, I'm still looking, Jay, because this is for now.
Okay, Member Gopi?
Chair, under sub-program 3.3, it speaks about provision for two additional youth cafes and the youth awards ceremony. I just want to find out, are the youth cafes the same two which receive shifts from subprogram 2.1?
Sorry, which page are we on?
161.
Okay.
And 3.3. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to answer that?
Thank you, through your chair. Mm-hmm. Yes, we've made provision under the... Okay, from... Let me start with sub-program 3.3, the transfers and subsidies. Funds reprioritized due to decrease in payments to safety parents. So we've basically moved some funding away due to our safety parents of payments that was not necessary to be made in terms of that. And then we reprioritize it to youth development, subprogram 5.6, to make provision for two additional youth cafes. And this is basically to help with the setup in terms of these youth cafes. And then there's the youth awards ceremony that will still take place in terms of the youth that will be awarded. And that is the funding that will go over to the sub-program 5.0.
But now my question is this two youth cafes the same youth cafes that are on sub-program 2.1? Or are they different?
They are additional.
Additional.
These additional youth cafes that we want to set up going forward.
Are we getting those this financial year still?
Yes, it is to operationalize it in this year.
Okay, Member Lecker.
No, thank you, Chair. Mine is a follow-up. The first follow-up is on the safety parents. That we're getting a report, the money was underspent or there's a decrease, and therefore it was then rechanneled. Why and actually what happened? Why was this the reason that the money was shifted to another vote? And the second follow-up, Chair, is on the location of these two safety kiosks. I would really love to know where the safety kiosks are going to be. And also, in that, I want to know exactly how much of the money intended to go to awards. What is the total amount of the awards, and what is the amount that is going to be spent on the youth cafe? Can we get a breakdown of that money that has been shifted from elsewhere to this other site. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Actually, before you respond, I just want to, Member Makaleni, the medium-term budget policy statement, this one, on page 22, is that what you are talking about?
Okay, Chair, I wanted to rephrase that.
Okay.
It says here, close to, it says 86 billion for youth and improved learner outcomes. Yeah? And then it says the four departments. But it is, now, when I earlier asked, I said it was taken out of the department. It's actually coming in to the department. But I wanted to know about what is it for and where will it be used?
Actually.
Thank you, Chair.
And how much was it?
Okay, the question of the money underspent on safety parents, we would have allocated a amount for the year based on the trends of expenditure in the prior year. But the money that's given to safety parents is money that's given to them when a child is placed for temporary safety care with those parents. That is somewhat unpredictable. Some years and months you have more children being placed into temporary safety care, sometimes you have less, so it ranges up and down depending on a range of factors beyond our control. So, you know, we sometimes have spikes in the number of safety placements, and then we will have an extra demand for money for safety parents' fees. It's also to do with how long it takes to finalize court cases, because the longer that a child stays with a temporary safety parent, the longer we're paying this temporary safety fee. So if we are able to speed up children's court processes and have a child placed into foster care sooner, or alternatively return to the family sooner, then the temporary safety care period is shorter and the temporary safety fees required are less. So there's quite a few factors involved. So we try to project based on trends, and we had quite a spike in temporary safety fees last year. So we budgeted based on that trend, but now there's been a downward trend. So it's
the question on the patient safety kiosk, I'm not sure what
safety level we have.
Location Minister, Ms. Priya Saldana, and?
Over the new one.
Yeah.
I think it's Saldana and our Dallas.
Dallas.
I can give you the exact locations for the additional for this financial year.
Okay.
For the adjustment period.
And the first up is this, those are the first ones for them.
Yeah. And I'll just check the other one. I'll just check the other one. I know Saldana is definitely one. I'll just make sure I'll check them out. I just want to add to the HODs, the issue of safety. After interactions, and remember we had a seminar last year with the MPA and all our probation officers around the blockages in the children's courts and general crime of children. Now that's the whole process now of the criminal justice system and also of the children's court has now been sped up. Those inefficiencies have been sorted out. So you will have a quicker process in court, and that's the fundamental issue. And then you won't have so many safety parents required. But in the meantime, the year before that, the spike, and therefore we are budgeted for this year, and therefore the savings around that. But it's one of those things where you don't want to have children in facilities. You don't want children detained. And so when the numbers come down, it's actually good. You with me, Honorable?
But there's no correlation.
Okay, we're sticking to this program.
The question of how much is being budgeted for the youth awards, remember we have it every year, and it's awards to organizations that are doing outstanding work for youth empowerment. Maybe I can just ask CFO.
Thank you, through your chair. Yes, it's around about 300 to 400,000 at this stage for that awards, and then 1.4 million. For these youth cafes to help with the setup and the operationalization of those.
Okay, then the other question was about the 86 billion for youth and improved learner outcomes. I think in terms of our budget, I don't know how Treasury split that, so the question would have to be for that minister, I assume. But what we can say, obviously, is that, you know, we have our youth budget. We also have a budget for the ECD, and we've got our special project for school readiness. So there's a lot of money in our department that goes there, but I'm not sure exactly what they decided they would use in that definition. Potentially quite a large portion of our budget goes that way, but I don't want to speculate as to how they've calculated it, that side.
Can Member Gopi?
Chair, I just want to find out from the 104 that exited the department, is there a plan to fill those vacancies, or are we going to freeze, or are you going to cut?
Chair, no, we don't plan to freeze. We need to fill those. We've been operating on essential posts for quite some time, so where we have exits, we need to fill those posts.
Member Lekka. Thank you, Chair. Another follow-up, Chairperson, on the youth cafes. I would like to know the two youth cafes that will be at Saldanha and Agalas. Is it just the provincial department that is contributing to those youth cafes, or there's a partnership with the municipalities? And two, linked to that, what is a cost of a youth cafe in a specific area? Thank you, Chair. And Chiria?
Thanks, Chair. The youth cafe in Saldanha, the municipality has contributed the venue. I don't know about the Gallus arrangement yet. Have they agreed?
Negotiating.
Okay. So, generally speaking, in most areas where we've set up youth cafes, the municipalities have come to the party with the infrastructure. So we cover the operations. They cover the venue and infrastructure. That seems to work quite well. The cost of establishing a youth cafe, upfront cost is about it's about 700,000 rand to set up all the IT systems and the necessary equipment inside the place, and then there's an operating cost per annum of about what varies from place to place, but of about a million or between 500,000 and a million, depending on the size of the youth cafe, is the operating cost per year.
Members, is that it?
I just wanted to say anything.
No, we asked all your questions.
Oh.
And we are already on 25 to 10. I just need to remind you, okay, there's another committee after this one. So please ask all your questions that you have.
I just have two.
Thanks, Chair.
The two that I have, they are on the substance abuse program. I see that it's 3,628,000 on substance abuse, and I wanted to understand in the backdrop of what the Minister of Finance again was saying about the use of cannabis, that English word, cannabis. Yes. Besides cannabis, we've got a drug problem in the province. So, and if we're taking money from that, and the same thing that the Minister of the House as well always talk about. So for me, I would expect more money to be pumped in that program instead of taking anything from it. And if you look further down, we'll see also there's a 3.9 on the COE in the restorative services program again. So it raises concern on me, and I was hoping that the Minister and the HOD will comfort me and give me an explanation of what is going on with this program. And if you remember, last year, again, I had an issue because there was another money that was taken from this restorative program.
Is that all your questions, yes, Member Matalini? Is that fine? HOD?
Thanks, Chair. I will ask the CFO and his director just to clarify what the amount is being shifted in the substance abuse program. and it's the CEO from Restorative Services. COE, Restorative Services. Sorry, what page was this on?
3628.
So it's a shift on substance abuse prevention and rehabilitation.
Mm.
Have you guys got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the in the substance abuse allocation, we've got our own centers as well, which includes Denova and Kensington. And of that, there's an administrative cost. Now, we've generated savings from operational leases that we have within those facilities around our photocopy machines. Our contracts are coming out now. The new photocopy machine contracts are basically half of what we previously paid. We've implemented VoIP, which is this communication system of ours, so our telephone accounts has come down from quite a number of millions right down to zero, basically, in terms of VoIP application. And then the other one was around machinery and equipment. Obviously, there's a link between our switchboard, which we then had as finance leases, which we now don't need to have as a result of the implementation of. And those were the movements from substance abuse. It did not affect the program itself that we are applying through the NGO sector. Not transfers.
I think it also has to do with the fact that De Novo, we shifted to some of De Novo's work to secure care, child and youth care. So some of that, the space that in De Novo treatment center that used to be used for drug treatment is also being shifted to secure care and RAW center work, which is in a different program. So we, some of De Novo was primarily a treatment center for adults. What we did is now we've divided it in half because of the huge need for services to children at risk. So we've created space in there for a reception, observation and assessment and referral center that's for children at risk with substance abuse problems, behavior problems, etc. So the shift is now to children, and that's in a different program. So that's some of that funds would have been saved that were allocated for De Novo's substance abuse.
It's taken from the substance abuse program to a children's program.
A different for, I don't know if it's children or is it crime prevention.
Yeah.
Crime prevention is where our secure care centres fall. It sits in crime prevention.
HSN
isn't sewer assistance. Neither secure care CYCCs. And not the normal child and youth care centres, like the NGO run ones, which
mm-hmm.
are what used to be called orphanages, which are for children that have been abandoned or orphaned. Those fall under child care and protection. But secure care falls under social crime prevention program. That's where we situate that budget.
Okay, and the 39 from the COE.
It's on the same page. It's below compensation of employees.
In terms of compensation for the program in itself, the 3.9 million rand, there's been a lot of those resignations that I mentioned earlier on in retirements. A lot of them came out of the area of this specific program, Restorative Services. Like I said, it's our own facilities, which includes our crime facilities, our places of safety in some of these areas. And it's people that retired. We've got to be honest, quite an aging group of staff in the sector itself. So they're either very close to retirement or early retirement.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all seniors.
Because we, that's our highest turnover of staff is our child and youth care workers. And yeah, we're also having a lot of trouble with, because remember these are the secure care centres fall in here. And we're having also a lot of trouble retaining educators. The current grading for educators in our secure care facilities is a public service grading for educators, education officer, and that doesn't pay as much as the school teachers get paid because they are on an OSD level. So it means that our facilities, even though they are high risk and secure environment, they actually pay a bit less than teachers in normal schools. So you can imagine how difficult it is to attract and retain educators in that environment. We are currently actually re-looking at our model. We're looking to see whether we can't have a contract with the education department that they appoint people and we second them across, because this is just not working for us. We're sitting with vacancies forever. We have a similar problem as well with the nurses. So our facilities are high turnover space. So that you're seeing that underspend reflecting there.
Thank you. You still want to ask something?
A follow-up on this one, Chair. Chair, I'm still concerned. Perhaps I'm going to be forever concerned when it gets to this secure centres. So if you're telling me that there is a problem in retaining staff, or there's a lot of them leaving, and especially the educators, you know, it's going to go back to the question of what then becomes the measure in place to assist, because I'm worried that they will be ending up just doing nothing in these protection centres and not learn anything if we don't have those educators. So I just need to understand, what is your plan there?
Can I just respond? Let me just make two issues quickly. The one is, as the HOD indicated, I almost go on a monthly basis to go and hand out certificates for people serving their 40 years and longer. So all of them are retiring in the next year or two. So like it's real stock over people. So I just want to make that point. So these are natural attrition. It's people going through the system. And then but the good thing is it creates space for a lot of young people, new innovative people to come in. The school situation, I'm also having a meeting with the Department of Education with Minister Debbie Schaefer to really see whether, because it's an unfair treatment of a teacher to be appointed, and the teacher doesn't get any holidays like other teachers outside. She goes to and study the same thing like any other teacher, and then she comes to be subjected to the danger of our centres. This is not a Sunday school, it's a real high secure area, and then and far less than that. So you will actually have, I mean, people will leave this. There's no attraction to stay there. So we're looking to talk to them whether we can't appoint within the education framework and law, and then ask them to be seconded to our department, and so one can actually. And so that's a thing that's very urgent at the moment. And in the meantime, we will have to. A lot of our child and youth care works also have the child and youth care qualification, and they in the meantime luckily can in the meantime fill that gap that's being created, the vacuum. So but that's urgent. That's very urgent.
Yeah, we do have teachers currently. The problem is that they just keep on, every time they leave, then we've got to fill it, and then you end up with a couple of months vacancy because you've got to find someone. So, and that's where you end up with a saving on compensation. And it's not good. Look, I mean, the structured day program is also run by the child and youth care workers. It's not only the educators who do the day program, but they're an important part of it, and we need to make sure the kids are getting they have a right to education, so we've got to make sure that their right is protected. But it's clear the system's not working, and we need to change the way it's going, because it's been an uphill battle for the last 2 years.
I'm going to give you an absolute last opportunity, because there's members that need to get to the chamber for the next one, eh?
Chair, I so wish the minister does not give me confusion when the response to this. But if in one line you're talking about aging staff, and then at the same time you're talking about retention problem, then it gives. I'm not sure what's the exact situation that is going on in this particular program, because I need to understand they're aging, that's why they're leaving, because they've been too comfortable and they're staying there for long, or there's problem retaining staff members because of the situation we find. So that's why I'm saying, if I can get a clear understanding of what exactly is going on, then maybe I would not. So are you also comforting me by saying that there is people that are filling in the space in the absence of the educators? Those children are not left unattended in those programs.
Minister, just hold on. Member Winger, did you have a question? Okay.
Look, I spoke specifically about two categories. The one is child and youth care workers, who I said specifically are aging, and the one reaching 40 years service.
But
at CYCC, yes. Yeah. And then I said, and the next category you asked was, why are teachers leaving? And we spoke, that's a different category. And the reason why we said they are leaving is because they earn far less than teachers in schools, but we have teachers in the system and the children are not left unattended and they are doing work that keep them busy. So the programmatic approach that's asked for in the Children's Act is been implemented. So I just want to, that's the point I'm making. But there was two distinct categories I was talking about.
Of reasons why we're having turnover. There's the aging that the minister talked about, there's the educators, and then there is also the child and youth care workers. Also, there's quite a high turnover because the environments are very stressful. So we have quite a few who resign because they just can't handle it. And we do have some who are also fired. Unfortunately, sometimes we have cases where the child and youth care workers assault a child, and then we need to dismiss them. And we've had, in fact, we get the most number of dismissals from our secure care centres, which is an unfortunate reality. And I think we have about 5 last year, and it's 9 times. In fact, always it's about assault on children. So it's a very robust environment, and the staff turnover reflects that. But there is also the ageing component, and in the management, we just had the deputy director there has left, so that creates quite a big dent in the government's spend.
Okay, thank you very much. Then Minister HOD, CFO and Director Finance, thank you very much for your availability. Members, that concludes this. We just finished to do our administrative task. Thank you. There is tea and coffee in the lobby if you wish to. Members, that concludes that presentation and question and answer session around vote 7. So now it's